Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to be talking about an important piece of legislation at the Ohio State House that will deal with the boycotts, the sanctions and divestment efforts by some groups on college campuses here in the state of Ohio and across the country against the state of Israel. The resolution is to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and the increasing incidence of anti-Semitism that's on college campuses, and that is right here in the state of Ohio. Unfortunately, in this year of 2017, we have had incidents of anti-Semitism on college campuses. It's being motivated by some groups backing the state of Palestine against the state of Israel, and they're calling for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions, and they're pretty aggressive and actually hostile to Jewish students on college campuses. Well, you know, all of this is really disconcerting when we consider where we are here at this time. And the state of Israel, of course, is surrounded by its enemies, and the United States is a chief ally of the state of Israel. You know, I was doing a little research just prior to the Holocaust in Germany. There was something that was called the Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. It was November 9th and 10th of 1938. Things had gotten so bad for the Jews who were being stripped of their rights in Germany and in portions of Europe that there was it precipitated by, you know, boycotts of Jewish goods and services and businesses, which led to the Night of Broken Glass, which was a rampage on synagogues, the burning of synagogues, Jewish businesses, ransacking of Jewish homes, and actually the beatings and killing of Jews in Germany. The world watched in horror as they saw this type of anti-Semitism, and what we now know was, of course, the beginning of the Holocaust. So it's not so innocent as you think of, you know, a group, a Palestinian-backed group that's just calling for, or a group from the Muslim Brotherhood is calling for a boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the state of Israel, because the Holocaust actually began with boycotts that ended up being reprisals against the Jewish people in Germany and, of course, throughout Europe, which led to this murder of 6 million Jews. That's why we're going to shine a light on this today. And HCR 10 was introduced by State Representative Andy Thompson and State Representative David Greenspan of Cleveland. And also working with the legislation is Michael Goldstein, who's working with a group called Justice for the Nations. And I would like to say also that the Ohio Christian Alliance is fully in support of HCR 10. And we're going to be having a press conference today at the State House in which we're going to talk about it in front of the Liberators and Survivors Memorial. It is a large Star of David that's been erected on the State House lawn in Columbus over the last few years, and it is in tribute to those who served in the U.S. Army, who liberated the camps, the concentration camps, and of course saw firsthand the atrocities by the Germans, the Nazis, against the people of the Jewish people in Europe. And of course, they said, how could this happen? How could anyone stoop to this level? And what has happened to humanity? And so they said, never again. Well, joining me on the phone right now again is State Representative Andy Thompson, who introduced the legislation, and also Mike Goldstein. Gentlemen, welcome.
Great to be with you, Chris.
Representative, you introduced this bill. It's already had a sponsor's hearing. Tell us about that.
Well, we had a hearing, I guess it would be a couple weeks ago now, so this was just our chance to talk about the legislation, to talk about the sense of urgency that we have about what goes on college campuses as a means to intimidate Jewish students or supporters of Israel. There was recently a report that was done, and I'm sure Michael will talk some more about it, by a group called AMCHA, which is a group about coming out of, to make sure the Holocaust never happens again. This is the Israeli Center for Holocaust Survivors. And it documents all the incidents of anti-Semitism and attempts by the BDS movement on campus to call out Israel, to demean Israel, to delegitimize Israel, and to try to really intimidate anybody who would say otherwise. And that's exactly what HCR 10 is intended to address. Previously, we passed legislation to say that, companies wanting to do business with the state of Ohio, if they were involved in any way in boycotting, disinvesting, or sanctioning Israel, would not be doing state business. This is a companion piece to reinforce that fact that we are decrying the BDS movement, but also particularly highlighting the problems on campuses across the state of Ohio, and really trying to provide some backbone to those who would stand up and say, this is not right. This is not acceptable. While we recognize the right to free speech, we don't recognize the right to intimidate, harass, or otherwise demean and delegitimize Israel, because Israel remains a staunch ally of the United States and also a stalwart friend of the state of Ohio. And where I've had the chance, Chris, to make that case either via resolution or also did a I Stand With Israel license plate in the last couple of years, too. So Israel's a great friend. Israel is a symbol to the world about what we should never let happen again, and that's the Holocaust. And Israel is, it's very important for us to recognize and reinforce our strong support for and dedication to protecting the state of Israel. So HCR 10 is consistent with that mission. And so it's an educational process here for people who may not be aware that every day on college campuses there is this movement that is anti-Semitic and very hostile. And so if we are not calling it out, if we are not giving a sense of the legislature's perspective, it may go unnoticed, and it may go, and we may people may be subject to this kind of harassment.
That's right. It really is unthinkable to think that Jewish students are being intimidated and bullied on college campuses here in the state of Ohio. We're not going to tolerate that. We're going to draw attention to it. And as a Christian organization, we're going to shine a light on it as well. And that's why we're fully supporting your efforts, Representative. In fact, I'm glad to see that you have bipartisan support. You have 18 co-sponsors. And reading from the resolution, whereas the citizens of the state of Ohio have a history of standing against bigotry, oppression, discrimination, and injustice, whereas Ohio and Israel have a long history of friendship and a great allies in support of each other's interests, and whereas the state of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, is the greatest friend and ally of the United States in the Middle East, and whereas Ohio is committed to increasing the ties and interactions in business, government, the arts, culture, and education between the state of Ohio and the state of Israel, further strengthening the historic ties between the state of Ohio and the country of Israel. Mike Goldstein, our Speaker of the House, he actually made a trip to Israel this year, which actually supports that effort that, the communication between the state of Ohio and the state of Israel exists, and there has been that kind of communication. Your thoughts on this resolution?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to pick up on something you said at the beginning. Again, my name is Michael Goldstein. I'm the State of Ohio Director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, PJTN.org. And this is a Christian organization whose mission is to educate Christians about their biblical duty to support Israel and the Jewish people. That being said, almost every Jew in America has a German Holocaust story, and I'm not going to tell mine now because it's a little complex. But here's what happens. Chris, you were exactly right talking about what Germany did with boycotts of Jewish businesses and sanctions. But with the Nuremberg laws, they also declared more and more and more as time went on that Jews could not teach school, could not teach college, and then could no longer go to German schools or go to college in Germany. They couldn't practice their professions, law, medicine, or whatever, except for other Jews. They couldn't treat Germans. They couldn't employ other Germans. They lost their property rights. They lost their gun rights, gun ownership rights. They lost their voting. They lost their citizenship. It was taken away from them. But it started with anti-Semitism in the population and anti-Semitic propaganda of the sort that we're seeing on our college campuses today. It starts slowly, but the plan is to delegitimize a people, in that case, the Jewish people. When the Nazis decided it was time to kill the Jews, in the eyes of the German populace, these were not human beings any longer. They were subhumans, and killing them was no longer a big deal. That's really what happened in Germany, and it's time to nip this stuff in the bud here in Ohio. The AMSHA initiative that Representative Thompson was talking about is a research agency. One of the things they have done in a document that's called Anti-Semitism at the Epicenter of Campus Intolerance rates the universities with the largest incidence of Jewish students there. They didn't do all universities. But in the top tiers, something we don't want to win at, the highest overall anti-Semitic activity on campus in 2016, Ohio State came in eighth. At the Ohio State University was eighth out of about 20. And it was fifth in the highest incidence of BDS activity, boycotts, divestment, and sanctions activity on campus. So that's not some place, not a place where you want to be near the top of the tier.
Well, and again, Representative, back to your point, Representative Thompson, is that, you know, this resolution is needed. I mean, here we are just a few blocks away from the State House. This activity is actually taking place with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement protests at Ohio State University, and actually incidences of intimidation of Jewish students. Your thoughts?
You know, I think it is. It comes very close to home, and it's very. You know, President Obama was a regular guest on the campus of Ohio State University. I think, fortunately, Ohio State on three occasions has voted down the attempts to inflict the BDS mantra proposals on Ohio State, so we're pleased about that. And I've spoken with President Drake on this topic. I hope that the universities will rally around, because we do. You know, what we find out is silence sometimes is taken as compliance or some kind of approval. I think I would encourage colleges to speak out directly. And remember, we do within this resolution, we do have a provision which calls on universities to respect free speech rights, but we don't respect the right to intimidate and threaten, in this case, try to delegitimize Israel. So this is very important. You did allude to the number of co-sponsors. Actually, my co-sponsor list is 26 or 27. We have other people who wanted to sign on but missed the deadline. But so it's a very significant support for this on a bipartisan basis. We do have folks on the other side of the aisle, and that support is very, very meaningful. Where we've done things in the past, we've had, again, strong support on the Republican and Democrat side. We have spoken with some of the other Jewish organizations in the state to get input as well. We will have a rabbi tomorrow at our press conference to kind of talk about the religious perspective of this. So as Michael Goldstein said, this is kind of a mandate for us, if we, as believing Christians, that we need to stand up for the state of Israel, because they were so important biblically, and there are biblical areas that are important to the state of Israel as well, that we want to reinforce that. But, you know, fundamentally, this BDS movement needs to be, they need to be delegitimized, because what they're doing is something which is very, very harmful and just a very dangerous step on the pathway to a bad outcome.
Well, you know, State Representative Please. David Greenspan, who's one of your co-sponsors, who himself is Jewish, he talked about his own sons being intimidated, and this was in high school, by Muslim other students, and being intimidated and bullied. And again, this is this kind of bigotry that exists, and it, you know, unfortunately, the reports are indicate that it's growing across the country, and that's why we're drawing attention to it today. We're listening to you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're talking about HCR 10, a resolution that's been introduced at the Ohio State House that draws attention to the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the state of Israel and the increased incidence of anti-Semitism. We're shining a light on that today. With me on the phone is State Representative Andy Thompson. Also is Michael Goldstein. And Mike, your thoughts on what we were just talking about.
I think people should keep in mind that the groups on campus who are proponents of the BDS movement, first place, they're funded from other sources out of state, but they are also sanctioned campus organizations. They get funds from the student activities fees, and they are university mandated organizations. So when they engage in this sort of behavior, and the university doesn't rein them in, then the university has problems too, because they are aiding and abetting these activities about intimidating Jewish students. And by the way, also Christians who support the Jewish students when they're being harassed on campus. Christian students are all also being harassed by the BDS groups. So that's pretty important. AMSHA initiative has another document called an anti-Semitism tracker. And if you go on AMCHA initiative, AMCHAinitiative.org, you can click on their reports, and this anti-Semitism tracker is by state. You can click on your state. It'll list the universities where there have been problems, and it lists all the reported problems at those universities. When I give it as a handout when I'm speaking somewhere, it's a page turner. People sit down at their tables and they start flipping through it to look at their favorite university and see what's going on there.
I have a copy in front of me, Michael, and I'm looking at Kenyon College. And yep, there's been incidents at Kenyon College, Miami University of Ohio. You know, this is disturbing, Representative. You know, that this is actually taking place at, you know, some of the notable universities around the state of Ohio. The Ohio State University is listed. You know, it's very disturbing. What's that?
Oberlin has three pages. Oberlin,
yeah,
College has three, yeah, pages in there.
Yeah, yeah. It and is that is, disturbing. I mean, that's yeah, remarkable in a bad way. And I think there is, when you have that culture on campus, that whatever they refer to it as social justice, but it's some kind of funny definition of social justice that allows you to be anti-Semitic. But that's what we're getting now, is just this attempt to target them and to demonize them and make them the oppressors. One of the noteworthy incidents was at Ohio University, where the student senate president, you know, poured a bucket of blood over her head to symbolize what she said was Israel's crimes against the Palestinian people. And this is how outrageous and absurd it gets. And then Jewish students who showed up to protest were hauled away by the you know, authorities there on campus. So there is there's a really again, it's Alice in Wonderland in a weird way. It's like, you know, whatever they try to redefine and categorize things in a way that's the exact opposite of the truth. And so, you know, this is we need to speak the truth. We need to make sure that people understand the threats that are on college campuses today. And this documentation that has been done by AMCHA is excellent, and it we want to make sure that the public is well aware of this, because if we're not, then we're not addressing this concern on campus. HCR 10 is vitally important to that mission, and right, we encourage people who are interested in this to attend tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the State House lawn by the Holocaust Memorial. We would welcome your attendance.
I do want to say something else about the Ohio University incident, because it is very, very important. The bucket of blood was a takeoff on the ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, ice bucket challenge. The student senate president who dropped the bucket of blood on her own head put this up on YouTube, I believe, and then it was later taken down. but it was online, and she did this, as she says, quote, as student Senate president, I am sending a message of student concern, unquote. So when the Jewish students were protesting, they did so at a student Senate meeting, which was going to consider a BDS resolution. They were protesting the student Senate president of using her position to tell lies about the state of Israel, and they were demanding her resignation. And I'm going to explain. They were allowed to speak for a couple of minutes, although they were promised 18 minutes. And when they kept talking, the Ohio University Police Department, which means it's university sanctioned conduct, arrested them and took them away in handcuffs. So a week later, after these four Jewish students, two of them from the Cleveland area, were arrested, the student Senate treasurer, his name was Carter Phillips, stood up and resigned in open session. What he said of the incident the week before with the Jewish students was, we disrupt them when they're speaking, we chant when they sit down, and we have them arrested for speaking out. All legitimacy we had went out the door in handcuffs last Wednesday. This is no longer a government. It is a circus. So that's what Jewish students are faced with on campus. Their events they try to put on are harassed by BDS people who try to shut them down. They try to get the universities to shut down the Jewish group's events, and sometimes they're successful. They intimidate Jewish students physically on campus. It's just not the America that we have had and that we want to continue. I'm very happy that Representatives Thompson and Greenspan have HCR 10, which will be coming up for hearings before the Ohio House Government Accountability and Oversight Committee. And we're looking forward to testimony in that forum.
We're talking about HCR 10. That is the resolution to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and increasing incidents of anti-Semitism. And here on college campuses in Ohio, and as we've just been talking about, there are reported incidences of anti-Semitism, of bullying and intimidation of Jewish students in a number of Ohio's universities, Toledo, University of Dayton, Oberlin, Ohio State University, Miami University, as Mike was just talking about. You were just about to say something, Representative Thompson, who is the sponsor of this legislation. Andy?
Well, I mean, again, I was just kind of echoing what Michael has said. And so when you look very closely at the details of the things that are going on college campuses, it's a little bit like the Antifa or some of these other movements there where they don't want Jewish students to be able to have a say. So here we are, you know, again, they're decrying whatever they oppose, but whenever Jewish students try to speak up, then they try to harass them and shut them down. So again, part of this resolution declares that free speech should not be suppressed, but we come out full force against the intimidation, threats, and anti-Semitism that has been rampant on several of these college campuses. And it is, you know, we send our children off to these campuses, we provide taxpayer money to a lot of these campuses, and to see this stuff happening without any kind of oversight or opposition from university officials. That's what this press conference is about.
All right, we've run out of time. Thank you both for joining me today. And again, this is an important issue. We will be reporting back about it. But the press conference will be important in making a statement that we're not going to tolerate anti-Semitism here in the state of Ohio. Gentlemen, thank you for joining the program today.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Okay, and again, I do want to thank Mike Goldstein of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations for joining us today, the Ohio chapter, and also State Representative Andy Thompson, who is the sponsor of HCR 10, the resolution to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the State of Israel, and, of course, unfortunately, the increased incidence of anti-Semitism on Ohio campuses. And we're going to bring you more updates about this legislation, this resolution. And, of course, there'll be a press conference at the State House, and then there will be hearings, and we'll give you reports on that. You can also visit our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, with me on the phone is Pastor Lyndon Allen, and he is with Christians United for Israel, and what a wonderful organization that they have. And of course, this is to support the State of Israel, to draw attention to issues pertaining to Christians and relation to the State of Israel. And this is an important subject. In fact, you know, as it states in Genesis, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. And, you know, we are to support and to pray for Israel, and that's what we're encouraging you to do today. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chris. I look forward to just chatting about this matter with you. It is vitally important. We as believers in the Most High God, Jesus Christ, need to stand with Israel and his own people, the Jewish people. From the four corners of the earth, he gathered them, and they are back in their land after two exiles. You tell me a people group twice exiled who find their way back to their land. That is that's an impossibility by any other means other than the God of heaven.
Amen to that. And, you know, that is exactly right. When we see the State of Israel, so many really prophetic fulfillments of the return of the people of God to their homeland. And just how all that came about in 1948, and of course, leading up to it, and of course, being able to revitalize their original language and their written language. And as it's often been said, that if an Old Testament prophet today was to come back and to pick up a Jerusalem Times, Tel Aviv Times, he would be able to read it and understand it. That's really incredible when you think about, you know, a people that had been scattered over the face of the earth and whose language had been lost, but to be all that has taken place with the State of Israel, and of course how God caused the barren land to bear fruit again and to blossom and to bloom. And it's just, all of it has just been such a wonder to see over these years, to see how God has brought his people back. He's blessed them, you know, even in spite of themselves at times. But at the same time, it's remarkable to see how God has fulfilled his promise.
Without question, Without question. Is Mike still on the line?
He's not. No, he was on the first part of the program.
Oh, part of the show.
Yes, sir. And but we want to spend some quality. Yes, that's right. Well, we want to spend some quality time with you. And right now, of course, we're in between two high holy days in the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah and, of course, Yom Kippur. Tell us a little bit about that, what this means, this time in the Jewish calendar.
Well, first of all, we must, as believers, pay attention to God's calendar. God's not following a calendar named after pagan gods and Roman emperors. I mean, we know the names of the days of the week, but God didn't name them. He only named one day of the week. Today is, what, Wednesday? He didn't name it Wednesday. He only named one day. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and the only day he named, Shabbat. That's it. So where do we get these other days of the names of the days of the week?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sunday, that comes from worshiping the sun, the venerable day of the sun. Monday was worship the moon, moon day. Tuesday was worship of the goddess Tuinis. Wednesday was worship of the Nordic god Wudens. And then we worship Wudens' son the following day, Thor's day, which is why we call it Thursday. Friday was Phrygia or Aphrodite. So that's why we worship Aphrodite on Friday. And Saturday was the worship of Saturn. So God's not responsible for that. His
right.
calendar is very specific. And his calendar, we're in the month of September now. Well, that used to be month 7. And then next month would be month 8, October, October. November was month 9, and December, Desi means 10. That used to be month 10. And some would say, well, Pastor Lyndon, we have 12 months. Why only 10? Well, during a certain time of the empire, there was no need to count earlier in the year because it was just too cold. No need to come out in the cold and count. We're just staying in. But other parts of the empire could count. So they added two more months on top, which is January and February. Januarius was a pagan god. Februarius is a pagan ritual. And that's how we got 12 months. But God's calendar is different. He's following a different system. Leviticus 23 tells us clearly, pay attention to the feasts of the Lord. These are my convocations. These are my feasts. He didn't say they're the Jewish feasts. You see, the Jewish feast, the Jewish people stewarded the feasts of the Lord. The precious Jewish people stewarded the feast of the Lord and have been doing so for millennia, for the last 3,500 years. But the feasts are called the Feast of the Lord. Now, Chris, I ask you, you belong to the Lord?
Absolutely.
I belong to the Lord.
Yes.
Your listeners who belong to King Jesus, who belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they belong to the Lord. Therefore, I would submit that the feasts belong to us. Proof positive. Number one, Christ crucified on Passover. The next day, put in the grave during unleavened bread. The next day, rose from the grave during first fruits. 50 days after Passover, he empowers the church on Pentecost. So far, of the 7 feasts, 4 of them have been in complete synchronicity with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. He is telling us what he's doing by way of these feasts. To honor the feast of first fruits, Levitical priests, they were constantly doing these dress rehearsals of the feast for 1,500 years, and then Christ showed up.
Mm.
And to honor the feast of first fruits, you literally, the priests literally have to hoist the harvest into the air. He's the first fruits of the dead, never to die again.
Yes.
That's our king. He's aligned the first four feasts with his first coming. Could it be that he will align the latter 3 feasts, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles, Sukkot? Will he align his second coming with these 3? Well, since he's been so exacting with the first 4 and aligned his redemptive work with those, I'm pretty sure he's going to align his second coming with the latter 3 feasts, the fall feasts that we're in kind of right now. Thessalonians tells us we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of a trumpet. Now, technically speaking, the Lord does not call it in the Bible, Rosh Hashanah. You won't see the phrase head of the year. That's what Rosh Hashanah means. You won't see head of the year in the Bible. The Lord made the head of the year the month of Nisan. That's what he said the biblical new year is. The first month for you shall be month one, which is the month of Nisan, which is the month of Passover. Nisan 14 is when Passover happens. And then all the way down the line, we're now in month, we just left month seven, and now we're in the month of Tishri. So we are between two feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, to observe the Feast of Trumpets, it actually takes about 2 days, and you don't know the day, and you don't know the hour, but you do know the season.
Mm.
And it requires the Levitical priest looking up and being watchful for a new moon. And when they see, and they don't know the hour the new moon will crest, they don't know. They're looking for it. So even in observance of the Feast of Trumpets, it's a state of watchfulness to the sky. Now our king is going to meet us in the air at the sound of the last trumpet. And the Feast of Trumpets is all about looking up and waiting.
You know, Pastor...
Looking up and waiting.
That's right. And Pastor, of course, this last week, and I didn't pay much attention to the silliness of... that it was supposed to be the end of the world according to some fictitious prophecy that was circulating out there on the internet. I saw one post on social media where it was Jesus holding his head and said, "What part of no man knows the day or the hour don't you understand?" And I thought that
exactly.
was a little funny, but you talk about the Feast of Trumpets because there will be the sounding of the trumpet of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, will be that calling that calling out. But that is yet to come. And of course, these false prophecies, your thoughts on that silliness that was over the internet. I'm sure people asked you about that.
Well, the thing of the matter is, the Lord said we would know the season of his return.
Yes.
The season of it. And because the Feast of Trumpets has a component within it that no man knows, because it takes about 2 days to observe. That's why they do it over a course of 2 days. You don't know which it's going to be, and you don't know the hour at which the new moon is going to crest, but you do know the season. So the coming of the Lord is going to be like a woman in her ninth month. We don't know when this baby's coming. We can see the evidence that she's about due any time, but we certainly know it's not going to be next year.
That's right. Well, Jesus said, "Be ready," and he said, "Tarry till I come." And I know that's what you're doing every day.
Exactly what we're saying.
You seem like the kind of person that bounds out of bed in the morning and just can't wait until what the Lord has for you that day. And
oh my goodness,
you know, because
the enemy knows that he kind of tries to buffet me, but I've got to put on my armor every day, like every other man, and go, "Nah, devil, you're not going to have my mind or my praise." And that's the thing he's mainly after,
yes,
is our praise out of our mouth.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And you know,
so with the Feast of Trumpets, I'm sorry, Chris, you're going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, when I first was saved, it all began with praise. I mean, it obviously, you know, the person who led me to the Lord said, "Just begin to thank Jesus." Well, those were words that never, you know, crossed my lips in my life, you know, about praising Jesus. A lot of things had crossed the threshold of that tongue, but they weren't those kinds of words. And it really does begin with that. And when I began to praise the Lord and I began to bless him, to begin to thank Jesus, well, that was the beginning of good things. And so you're right, because of the blood of the Lamb and our word of our testimony and that praise that we give him, that's what the enemy's after, isn't it, to take away that praise.
Exactly. See what you just said? The blood of the Lamb.
Mm.
You see, this is why Paul in Corinthians refers to Yeshua, Jesus, as our Passover Lamb. And he even goes further to say, when you observe the feast. Paul, Chris, you know what we were doing for the first 325 years of our existence as believers? We were worshiping God on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until 325 AD when Constantine shifted us. In order to bring some semblance of unity within his empire, he shifted us from Saturday to Sunday in an attempt to pull his pagan and Christian empire together. And this happened before he professed faith. So he moved us to, well, you guys worship the Son of God, so why don't you worship on Sunday like the rest of us here? And click, we shifted over. And at that point, 325 AD, began a 1,700-year journey of systematically and ever so slightly fading away from our Hebraic roots as believers. What we do as Christians, and by the way, technically speaking, and I'm sure not a single believer out there can refute this, Jesus never called us Christians.
Right.
He called us disciples and followers of the way. Now, this is our leader. This is our king. Because what we're doing is a kingdom thing. This is not just, you know, the church is a part of the kingdom. And the Jewish people are going to be a part of the church one day, eventually. I mean, the scriptures say that the middle wall is going to be broken down and he could pick up the natural branches and graft them right back in. So I'm not concerned about that because Paul says in Romans 11, all Israel will be saved. How he's going to do that is just as mysterious as how Joseph, who's a type of Christ, saved all of his family from natural famine. Jesus will save all of his family from spiritual famine in his own way. He's going to get it done, but no one is getting into this kingdom apart from King Jesus. No separate track for anybody. So I take it back to the blood of the Lamb.
We're talking
first Passover.
Well, I just want to say for our listeners that just joined us, we're talking to Pastor Lyndon Allen, who is a representative of Christians United for Israel. And this is such an important subject for the church because, you know, Pastor, there's been over the years and in some denominations something called replacement theology. And this has actually led to a disparaging view of Jews and or the state of Israel. And so this is so important that we talk about that we were the branch that was grafted in, the original. We were not the original as Christians. We were grafted in. Mm-hmm. And Paul said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Jesus came first to his own people, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And
as the king, you're right.
And so we are following in the way. And
I love that phrase. Followers of the way. In the days of Rome, when Jesus was on the planet, the Romans viewed the Jewish community as being comprised of five different sects. S-E-C-T-S. Sects. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the Zealots, remember Barabbas?
Yes.
The Essenes, those are the guys who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Essenes, and then followers of the way, this new sect that was led by Rabbi Yeshua. And the Romans looked at all of us and said, all of you guys are Jews. You're all Jews. It was a Jewish sect. So my church fathers are not Augustine, Cyprian, Tertullian, Origen, Athanasius. No, my church fathers are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Peter, Paul, they are the church fathers. They laid the foundation upon which we stand. And all of them, and there's new scholarly evidence that now suggests that Luke was a Jew with a Greek name.
That's right. Well, hold it right there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're talking with Lyndon Allen of Christians United for Israel. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Pastor Lyndon Allen of Christians United for Israel. Pastor, I want you to continue right where we left off, where you were saying that the church fathers were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you were saying that Luke was actually Jewish.
Yeah, there's new evidence that suggests now that Luke was a Jew with a Greek name, particularly his immense knowledge about Jewish custom as he was writing Theophilus, and particularly in the book of Acts. This man had just too much going on. I'm not being dogmatic about it, but the evidence is starting to trickle in that regard, which would make the entire book written by Jews. The funny thing is when the Lord called Abram, his original name, Abram, means exalted father. And the time of his birth was exactly, roughly, 1,948 years since the birth of the first Adam. So from the birth of Adam, the creation of Adam, to the birth of Abram was 1,948 years. From the birth of the last Adam, Yeshua, Jesus, to the birth of Israel, Abram's descendants, 1,948 years. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
That's utterly amazing. So this when the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham, that meant the King of Heaven, Jesus himself, was declaring through the name change, I am not just after Jews, my own people. I'm after the entire planet because Adam forfeited my kingdom to the enemy and left a gaping hole between myself and humanity. Because quite frankly, Chris, if Adam did not partake of the fruit, would there have been a need for an Israel and a Jewish people? Let's ponder that question. If he did not partake of the fruit, how many kingdoms would there be on this planet?
There would just be the one family, yeah.
Just one.
Right.
Just one. The reason why God created Israel was to reintroduce himself back into humanity and redeem the planet unto himself.
That's right.
So he had to choose a people group through whom he would come and become the last Adam, which is what Romans refers to Yeshua as, the last. He's not the second Adam, because if he's referred to as the second, that implies a third. He's the last Adam. The first Adam brought sin into the world. The last Adam, Jesus, took it out, and now we can be redeemed unto him, because Abraham's new name means father of many nations, plural, not singular, plural. So the King of Heaven, from the onset of the bite from Adam, has been after the entire planet, and he chose the Jewish people to get that done.
You know,
that's
Pastor,
why they held a menorah.
That's right. And Pastor, as you've been talking so specifically of the feast days, the analogies in the Old Testament, and how they relate to our faith as Christians, and it is really one. In fact,
it is.
Paul said everything written aforetime was written for our learning. So we look at Moses, who actually, you know, people say, well, why was he kept out of the Promised Land? Because he disobeyed the Lord when he ruined a typology in the Old Testament.
Yes.
When at the first time when they came to the rock and the Lord said, smite the rock and water will come out. Well, that was a picture of Christ. That was the rock that followed them in the wilderness. That rock was Christ. He was to hit it once. Jesus was offered once for our sins. The second time,
come on.
The second time, he was to only speak to the rock, because if we confess Christ, We will be saved by faith. But in his anger, he rose up and said, must I fetch you water out of this rock? And he hit it. And the Lord
said, must we? He said, must we?
Yes.
He brought God into it.
He did bring God into it. The brother was tempted. I just have to say. But the consequences of his sin, he was kept out of the promised land because he ruined a type in the Old Testament. That's why it's so important, the specifics you're giving us of the...
Yes.
The meanings of these feasts and how they relate to us today. I appreciate all that you're doing.
They most certainly do. They most certainly do. And some might say, "Well, Christians United for Israel, you're hanging out with Jewish people, and you're not trying to get them saved." I said, "Well, let me put it to you this way: Christians United for Israel is an organization of 3.5 plus million people who liken ourselves unto Corrie ten Boom." Now, if your listeners are familiar with the story of Corrie ten Boom, there was a Dutch family in the Netherlands. They were Christian. They were not Jewish, but they loved the Bible, and they understood the importance of Jewish people meticulously scribing the scriptures so that we Gentiles would know who God is.
That's right.
Were it not for them, we would know who God is. He's the one. They're the ones who told us there's only one God when everybody else was worshiping a bunch of trinkets in their pocket.
That's right.
Said, there's only one God, one God. So the Ten Booms, when they heard the knock on the door of precious Jewish people who were running for their lives away from the Third Reich, who was starting to barrel down on the Netherlands, they opened the door. And Chris, here's what they did not say to those Jewish people. Rather than tell you what they did say first, I'm going to tell you what they did not say. They did not say, you can't get in here unless you receive Jesus as your Messiah. They didn't say that. You know what they said to them? Just get in here.
People yes.
are chasing you down. And if they're going to chase you down, they're going to chase me down too. And you wrote the book. We wouldn't know who God is. So just get in here.
Amen.
That's who Kufi is.
Amen.
The Jewish community. Get in here and be safe. We're going to cover you.
Well, Pastor, we're going to have you back. We've run out of time today. God bless you, my friend. This has been awesome. We're going to have part two. Pastor Lyndon Allen, and that is Christians United for Israel. And just go to kufi.org.
.org.
Thank you, Pastor.
UFI.org. UFI.org. Have a great day.
Thank you. Blessings. Well, that was wonderful. If you missed any of today's program, log on to Ohio Christian Alliance, and you'll be able to hear the entire broadcast. God bless. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.